Hey, we're back on Downtown here on a Thursday afternoon. Rich Kimball with you on the telephone line. We're happy to welcome back to the program our friend Steve Buckley of The Athletic. Buck, good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to you. It's always a pleasure to hang with you guys.
Thank you. Great to have you with us. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. Now, has Ken Burns already been on?
He's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Big fan of his. I watched everything he's done.
Me too. And we're stunned. You know, hey, we're just a little radio station in Bangor, Maine, but Ken has been on with us, I think, about a dozen times, at the point where every time he's got a new movie, he comes on with us, and we're just so grateful to him.
I did a magazine piece on him years ago when he was editing, doing the sound mixing for the baseball documentary.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to sit with him in a sound mixing studio right in Times Square. And the famous play where Yogi Berra hits the fly ball to left field in the 1955 World Series and Sandy Amrose makes the catch in the corner. Mel Allen does the call, and I was there when they manipulated the crowd noise so they could bring more richness to Mel Allen's voice, and it was amazing how they did that. I was a fly on the wall for that one, so that was kind of cool.
I was very pleased. I think it was maybe the last time we talked, and we did a Zoom conversation, and he popped up on the computer screen, and he was wearing his Red Sox cap, so I was happy with that.
Oh, there you go.
Now, I saw the big news today. The Athletic is being purchased by the New York Times. Does that mean I can get rid of one of my subscriptions?
Well, you know, it's funny. If we were doing this in reverse, I might have some answers for you, because my schedule has you at 4:30 and a Zoom session with the owners, the founders of The Athletic at 5.
Ooh.
So as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm Zooming with them, and I'm certain that will be one of the questions that will be asked. But So we've been gabbing about this in our little circle at The Athletic now for a couple of months, and there's been lots of speculation that the New York Times was going to buy us, and today it finally happened, and the I's will be dotted and T's crossed in just a few minutes when we have the Zoom session.
Well, that's exciting for everybody involved there. Let's see. Let's talk about the wonderful piece you did earlier this week on Christian Wilkerson, who has emerged with a terrific game for the Patriots last week and 4 catches, a couple of touchdowns. But what a very interesting backstory he's got.
Yeah, he spent the summer going into his senior year at Southeast Missouri State doing an internship for a local construction company, local meaning it was 40 miles away. And when I read his bio Monday morning, I just dug up his college bio to see if there was anything of note. And when I saw that, I called his coach, and basically it's a 1AA program, what they now call FCS, Football Championship Series program, which means that it's a rung below FBS, Football Bowl Subdivision, and not a lot of those guys go to the NFL. And basically his coach was saying, you know, you're a pretty good player, and you might get a look at the NFL, but you also have to plan for a life without football. So he spent the entire summer doing that internship with the, I think, Robinson Construction Company, and it jumped out at me, and I had a great talk with the coach and with somebody from the company who wrote the piece on it. And good for this kid to plan for a life possibly without football.
And I love what his coach said about him, that he had an offensive lineman's work ethic.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand. I'm not very, maybe you have or your listeners have. I hadn't heard it put that way, but I guess it speaks to the sort of blue-collar nature of being an old lineman. And, you know, you're not a runway model. You're not like a big celebrity, and you're grunting and groaning down there. And I'm assuming that's the kind of tack that he was taking. But it certainly applies in this case, because this is a young man who was a hardworking student. He also got a Scholar Athlete Award when he was there. And like I said, he might be out of football next week, next year, in 2 years. And at this moment in time, he hasn't made enough money to, you know, sit by the pool the rest of his life on his football earnings. So there would need to be a career option outside of football. And he was apparently pursuing that while playing football at college.
Now, we're pretty well acquainted with that FCS subdivision. That's where our main Black Bears play, although they were able again this year to beat an FBS team when they knocked off, it was UMass. That's right.
Yes. that's, and there is one time in my career when for those who don't know, I'm a UMass grad, but I did root for Maine against UMass in a certain game in 1983 when the Black Bears played UMass in the NCAA Northeast Regional, I think it was, or maybe it was the ECAC tournament before that. And I told Dick Berkowitz, the late, great Dick Berkowitz, the UMass coach, I'd seen him before the game. And I said, I hope you don't mind, but I'm rooting for Maine today because I work for the Portland Press Herald, and I really want to go to the College World Series. And if Maine beats UMass, they're a step closer to Omaha, and I always wanted to go to Omaha. So he gave me his blessings on that, so it worked out great.
Let's talk about this Patriots team a little bit. It's been a surprisingly good year for them. Mac Jones has been very solid, also a surprise. How much do you think it means to Bill Belichick to make the playoffs, to have success without Tom Brady around?
Well, I mean, if you had him on your show, he would say it's all about the players, and I'm just the coach. And he rolled that one down the aisle and into the gutter the other day. He's a human being, and he looks at his record. He looks what other coaches have done. He looks what Tom Brady has done. And he's been tweaked for many years now about how he didn't win a championship as head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and he didn't win a championship as head coach of the Patriots a year ago, post-Brady. And listen, all great coaches have had great quarterbacks. Let's be honest about a great coach needs a great quarterback. A great quarterback needs a great coach. And this is a case of him taking a leap forward without Brady. And, you know, we don't know yet if they'll win a championship. That's a story yet to be written. But I'm just looking at it through the lens of human nature, and I'm sure he's very happy that the Patriots are where they are right now without Brady.
We're talking with Steve Buckley of The Athletic here on Downtown. A very sad news earlier this week with the passing of former Major League pitcher, a Boston guy who spent a couple of years with the Red Sox, Jim Corsi. And you wrote about him. Steve Burton did such a powerful piece with him. Tell us a little bit about Jim Corsi.
Well, all you need to know about Jim is that he got released 3 times in the minor leagues and still played 10 seasons in the major leagues. So he obviously persevered. He got drafted by, released by the Yankees. He got signed by the Red Sox, got released, didn't know he was released, as I wrote in the story, and showed up at spring training. And the Red Sox, hey, we released you 2 weeks ago. And there was a screw-up. The letter went to a different door in his house, and they kept him around for a few weeks. They said, okay, they ended up re-signing him. He played another season in the minors. Then the Red Sox released him again. So he's now been released 3 times in the minor leagues, signs with the Oakland A's, and a year later he's in the big leagues. So, you know, that's why I've been telling parents for years and years when I do stories in college players, you know what, you can be an accountant, a lawyer, or a construction worker, which is something that Christian Wilkerson is pursuing. You can be a sports writer well into your 60s, 70s, and 80s. You can do it the rest of your life. You've got a very, very short window to play professional sports. Keep at it. You never know what's going to happen. I think Jim Corsi taught us that lesson.
You and your colleagues at The Athletic have publicized your Baseball Hall of Fame ballots. You voted for the three of the guys in their last year, Bonds, Clemens, and Curt Schilling. Were any of those tough decisions for you?
I'd have to say that Schilling was. Bonds and Clemens, I made my peace with that a few years ago. I'd just be repeating myself. I didn't vote for them for like 4 or 5 or 6 years, and I've been voting for them the last few. Schilling was tough because I voted for him every single year, and I was appalled and dismayed by his support of the Capitol insurrectionists a year ago today at nighttime. After all that had happened at 11 o'clock at night, he's tweeting in favor of that, and what a great job those guys did when they attacked the Capitol. And I think I had written a year ago, I'm not going to vote for him again. But then calmer heads prevailed. I'm not going to give him the martyrdom that he wants. I vote on his credentials as a player. And I would take a vote away. Like, I didn't vote for Vizquel because I need to, his off-the-field issues need to be adjudicated first. So I didn't vote for him. But I don't think being dumb and sending incendiary tweets that are ill-informed, that are uninformed, is basis for not voting for him. So after long, careful consideration, I voted for Kurt Schilling.
What happened to him, Buck? And we've talked with you about it. When he was a player, he was a guy I like to talk, certainly, but he was a different guy. You said that he had been supportive of you when you came out. What led him down this weird path he's been on in retirement?
Yeah, that's beyond my skill set. We, in our little circle of sports writers, we've talked about that. I am not ashamed to say I like Kurt. During his years as a player, he was interesting. He was accountable. He was approachable. I remained friends with him, friendly with him. When his career ended, I drove out to his video game facility out in, I think it was in Acton, Mass, out on Route 2. I drove out there one day and had lunch with him out on the picnic table. I choose my words carefully here because I'm a sports writer. I'll let it go at that. So there's only so much I can say other than that emotionally he's had a cancer scare. His wife had a cancer scare and he had that catastrophe of a video game empire that he moved to Rhode Island and it went belly up. These are three very significant life passages. And it's one could say, again, choosing my words carefully, one could say that it has damaged his psyche and caused him no small amount of emotional turmoil. I'm not saying that's the case here, but one could say that. And maybe he's dealing with things that we don't know about. So I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. And in that spirit, I voted for him.
You also voted for David Ortiz. Was that an easy one for you?
It was an easy one for me because the random testing that was done, the anonymous testing, rather, that was done in 2003, was supposed to be a survey agreed to by Major League Baseball and the Players Association to gauge what usage of this, that, and the other thing were being used by players. It was supposed to be for informational purposes. It was never supposed to be released. We still don't know what or if David Ortiz tested positive for. And I find it interesting that both Major League Baseball and the Players Association have distanced themselves from those testing results. They don't trust them. They didn't give them the information they were looking for. And that, to me, is too flimsy a piece of evidence for me to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. And it's worth noting that he continued on for his career until he retired 5 years ago without testing positive for anything. Now did he do something that was banned or illegal, steroids, human growth hormone? I use a line. I use it all the time. It bores people. I've said it so many times. I suspect everybody. I accuse nobody, which is my way of saying, who knows?
Exactly.
But there isn't enough of a body of evidence for me to hold my vote from him.
I was, as a fan, happy to see a couple of guys that I've been pulling for a while get your votes, Scott Rolen and Billy Wagner.
Wagner was the first choice for me because, you know, as we grow, as we evolve, as I read more and more about certain players, I think I reached my limit last year and I couldn't vote for him. That might have been what it was. It was a solid choice. He has Hall of Fame numbers and I've been voting for Rolen. I think he's a Hall of Fame player. His numbers are solid. And I think you probably know that I'm what's called a big hall guy. In the BBWA, there are people who are small hall people and big hall people. And the small hall people, you know, if you're not Christy Mathewson or Willie Mays, you're not going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And the big hall people will vote for a Rolen, a Wagner, a Schilling, and so for guys that are not slam dunk Hall of Famers, and I'm in that latter category.
What's your level of optimism in regards to a labor peace in Major League Baseball? Can the two sides find common ground at some point?
It's funny you use the word common ground because I use the term common sense, and baseball is kind of at a crossroads right now. I just got gasoline the other day at a local station. And the guy who fills my tank, we chat all the time. He's 60, I'm 65, And we get to talking, and it's like we're two 14-year-old kids swapping baseball cards. And he said to me the other day, he says, you know, kids don't do the talk that we're doing right now. And I said, yeah, you know, it doesn't mean that they're turning away from baseball, but it does mean that baseball needs to work harder and continue working to keep those kids and to grow the game. This would be the exact opposite of that. And I'm, and the common sense part of it is I'm hoping, as I'm not a fan of the game because I've written about it for too many years. Fan doesn't really apply to me. But I'm a connoisseur of the game. That's the word I choose to use. In that I can watch the Royals and Twins on MLB Network at night and enjoy the game because there are certain there are players, there are stakes, there's history. There's so much you can get out of a game without being wedded to the Red Sox or the Yankees or whatever. So the connoisseur in me hopes they use common sense and find some middle ground.
Steve Buckley of The Athletic with us here on Downtown. Buck, always a treat for us to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Anytime, and have fun with Ken Burns. He's the best.
Absolutely. Thanks, Buck. We'll talk soon.
See ya.
Steve Buckley with us here on Downtown on this Thursday afternoon.